guys. It's out of my hands. It's out of my control. There's nothing I can do. My job is to coach the team, and my job is to make sure the players are ready. And I try to keep the human side as close as possible because that's the most important thing. But at the same time, we have business to conduct. We have a game tonight, and we play against a fantastic team.
That's Andre Tourney, head coach of the Arizona Coyotes, going into Friday night's game in Edmonton, a game the Coyotes were able to win in overtime over the Oilers. But that's also the day, Bic, that Bill Armstrong, the general manager of the Arizona Coyotes, traveled to Edmonton to meet with the team ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And before the game was notified, hey, what you're hearing is true. Relocation is very much on the table, probably going to happen after the season. Which, by the way, the season ends Wednesday night for the Arizona Coyotes.
It does.
The fact that it was Bill Armstrong from the hockey side of things and not from ownership, not from management, making that determination on his own, by the way, as was reported by John Gambadora over the weekend. And this message has still not come from anybody from the Morello group is inexcusable. And I don't
care. Yeah, that's the word.
Is there a gag order publicly? Judging from the absolute emptiness from the statement that Alex Morello released on Saturday.
You want to read that?
You would appear that there would be. But you can talk behind closed doors to the people that you employ. The statement from Alex Morello: there's been a lot of discussion in recent days about the future of the Arizona Coyotes. I understand and empathize with the concerns of our fans, our community, our partners, our players, our front office, and all of our team members. I hope to address these issues as soon as I am able to speak on the topics. We are focused on a myriad of issues that are unresolved, and therefore we are unable to make any official public comments at this time. However, you have my commitment that I'm going to speak on all of these issues and publicly address all of your concerns as promptly as possible. Hmm. Respectfully, Alex Morello, Chairman and Governor.
Right.
Where do you start with that?
Where you start with this is whether or not you actually believe and trust that this ownership group is actively still trying to pursue land, to build this arena, to exercise a reported clause that will give them an expansion team. That's where you start with it, because everything else is just cheap. It's talk is what it is. And this thing started to percolate, what, back in late January, February, reports of Salt Lake City, and we've heard nothing but commitments to this market ever since.
Yes.
And until there wasn't. And I do believe that there's anger in the fan base now because they believe, like, why can't you just be straight with us? Why are you, you know... Right. You know what it is? It's like that whole line, don't urinate on my leg and tell me it's raining. Right.
Yeah.
Something right. like that.
Something like that. A version of that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It, there's a version of that. Right. So I think there's that. And I'm really, really highly suspect about this idea because, you know, if there is this agreement from the NHL that says, yes, if you can build this arena and you can come back to me 5 years from the date of sale, we will give you an expansion franchise. That would assume that the NHL wants this ownership group back in the NHL. And you're going to have to convince me hard that they do.
Yeah, but why should it be this group?
That's it. I mean, because, look, you can look at this thing. There were the unpaid bills in Glendale. We know all about that.
Yes.
There was the ridiculous way they went about trying to win an election in Tempe, which was they didn't really try all that hard. And then there's now reports that they didn't pay their hotel bills this year to the point where hoteliers banded together and made the Coyotes pay in advance by certified check. Now, if you're the NHL commissioner, are you leaving a light on for that ownership group?
I wouldn't. I understand Gary Bettman's commitment to this market. Again, this is still a growing, burgeoning market. This franchise will be moving to a much smaller market, which, by the way, does not have a hockey arena right now that is suited to play hockey.
They're going
to
be playing the same obstructed view seat arena that started this whole thing.
Yeah, but let's avoid that ignore that for a second. I get the infatuation with the market. I don't think this should be the group to try to secure an expansion hockey team for Phoenix, Arizona. Yeah. I don't. And the other reports that came out over the weekend, and tip of the cap to Gambo, who had a ton of information on an X thread, that the Tucson Roadrunners are still owned by Alex Morrell, and he's going to explore looking at moving them to the Valley to play at Mullet Arena. You want to talk about a slap in the face? Hey, we just squandered your NHL franchise, but here,
come support our,
here's the AHL franchise that, by the way, these players will be fed into the system and go play for Salt Lake City. I'm like, you don't see the holes in that theory?
Yeah. How about it? Which makes people wonder exactly, is this just a con?
It certainly feels that way to me.
Yeah, and it feels that way to a lot of people.
That was the part of his statement where he's like, you have my word that I'm going to address this.
Alex Morello bought this team on the cheap in 2019, and in 2024 is going to sell it and clear $1 billion. If he wants that, I mean, with all the commitments, quote unquote, and you have to put like eight sets of quotes on commitment to secure a franchise, he's going to give that back in expansion fees.
Yeah.
He could be, the whole thing is so frustrating.
No, it really, really is. And I think that's kind of what makes me angry about this is this move out of town, out of state is so unnecessary. There is nothing about this market that suggests we are not fit to be a hockey town. Quite the contrary. And for this to be the end game, it's really, really pathetic.
Well,
in my opinion,
after 20 years of crap that this fan base has been fed by numerous parties and individuals, you just kind of got conditioned to like, this is the way it's going to be all the time. And for the end to be this sudden for this fan base is the last in a long series of cruel jokes played against it.
Arizona Sports. Breaking news.
Hey, happy payday, Grayson Allen. Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN, reporting that the Phoenix Suns guard Grayson Allen has agreed on the four-year, $70 million contract extension with a player option. So Matt Ishbia once again saying, second apron.
Yeah.
Maybe he was telling the truth when he says, what is that?
A billionaire who tells the truth. What do you know?
Wow.
Man,
well, apparently not consistent there, but yeah, $70 million, 4 years. Grayson Allen, who's been awesome for the Phoenix Suns this
year,
he gets his contract extension, and that's one thing you could check off the box for the offseason, which is not upon us yet. Suns avoid the play-in; they're in the playoffs as the sixth seed with a pretty favorable matchup. We'll get into that next. It's Bickley and Murata mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
It took everything breaking just right for the Suns to stay out of the play-in tournament and get the matchup that might be the best for them. Everything broke just right. Thanks to Bradley Beal and the LA Lakers, the Suns stay out of the play-in and get the T-Wolves in the first round. We're talking about it on today's Burns and Gambo show at straight up 2 o'clock.
Yeah, our guys are very motivated. We had a lot of talk the last 2 days about not moving the ball well enough offensively against SAC. The other night, our team scoring 45 points and a half. We're capable of scoring 45 points in a quarter. And we showed that in the first quarter tonight. We came in with some offensive swag, but it really was about the defensive side of the ball. I don't think I've ever been a part of a team that forced 19 turnovers and a half before. We were flying around. Our gap activity was great. Our coverage execution was great. And, it's a snapshot of what we look like when we can be at our best.
Frank Vogel, head coach of the Phoenix Suns, after they destroyed the Minnesota Timberwolves yesterday. 44-22 in the first quarter, never looked back. One of the best quarters of the year. Probably the best game of the year. Came in game 82 when the Suns were playing for something. They wanted to avoid the play-in. To do that, they needed the Lakers to beat New Orleans. They needed to beat Minnesota. Both of those things came to fruition. And the Timberwolves were playing for something, too. They fell to the number 3 seed now. And they're facing a scenario in going up against the Suns in a best of 7 that they can't feel great about, because this has been one-sided in every sense of the phrase
in the three games
in the regular season.
No doubt about it. So in fact, I would be surprised if any NBA expert picks the Timberwolves to win this playoff series, given the three games that we have as sample size. This team has not been an issue for the Phoenix Suns.
Going three games, the first one was in November, and then two games in the last 10 days. The Suns have not held a single-digit lead for 1 second of the second half of any of those games. That's how complete the demolition of the Timberwolves has been in the regular season.
And then not only for yesterday to happen, for the Suns to get up by 20 in a minute, right? The proverbial minute, metaphorical minute.
It wasn't much more than literally.
The Lakers had the exact same game against the Pelicans. The scores were almost identical. Mm-hmm. So you talk about a stress-free day for a basketball fan, and it just really makes you wonder, because I saw this team, maybe I'm wrong in this observation, but the level of locked-in-edness, the level of how locked in they were yesterday, to the point where they were over-communicating with each other constantly. Uh-huh. I'm like, who is this team? When did they grow such a heart? And so it shows you what they're capable of when locked in. And you'd like to think that maybe they've been trolling the NBA the entire year, but go back to Friday night. They were down by, six with 90 seconds left to go in that game?
Down by 16 at one point.
Yeah, so if they were trolling the rest of the NBA, they sure cut it close.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I will say, the what you're talking about is very evident to anybody who's watching with any level of attention at all. They are way more connected. They're way more invested. They're way more playing for each other. You watch the guys sprinting off the bench to go help up teammates after they're down underneath the hoop after being fouled.
Yep.
That is an Isaiah Thomas creation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Ish Wainwright had something to do with that too, coming in late.
Yep.
But that kind of connectivity, and a lot of those guys aren't getting on the court outside of garbage time, but it seems like it's bleeding through. Like, that message might be the initial message. Hey, let's take this stuff a little bit more seriously and be there for each other, because there's still a reachable goal here.
Well, yes, exactly. And I think Charles Barkley, when he said the leaders in Phoenix aren't leading, he was talking primarily about Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. And I think what we saw over these last two games was Bradley Beal take that wheel, that leadership wheel. And these guys are rallying around him as much as they're rallying around what their mission is. Because I think he's been the most emotional, effusive. He's been the most emotive out of the big three by a long shot.
It's still tough, to me at least, to figure out what is the best way for them to win, though, because they went 7-3 during that 10-game gauntlet that we were talking about forever. Some of those games was when Bradley Beal was very passive and just passing it, not shooting a lot at all. The most recent games is when he was leading the team and being very aggressive.
So the 7-3 looks better on paper than it actually was.
I know, than it felt in real
than
time.
Than it actually
I agree.
Felt. But the last two games are exceptional, in my opinion. I mean, you went into a real hostile arena Friday night. You withstood that team, and then you just got them at the end and kind of showed and affirmed for everybody that the Kings are there. There's not much there. There really isn't.
No, they're marginalized now with injury, but they were playing for something too.
Yeah.
And you hit on it. They went into these last two games on the road of a very tough stretch, and they were playing against teams that wanted to win. Mm-hmm. They were playing for something.
Yep.
Just that, and you can say, well, they've been in playoff mode for quite some time. I agree with you. 7-3, if you would have told me that at the beginning of that stretch, I'd say, wow, that's fantastic. But the loss to the Thunder, just getting bludgeoned by the Thunder, that was a mark against it.
Mm-hmm.
Losing that second game in San Antonio was completely unacceptable. They got outplayed by New Orleans. The loss against the Clippers, where you fall behind by 31 points in the first quarter. I mean, there was just so much ugliness in the three losses that it takes away from the beauty of it.
Exactly.
They handled their business.
They did. No, listen, and that's, again, I think that, as we said earlier, and I think this is a good way to frame this thing up, if you would have said at day one of the regular season, okay, here's a time capsule, I'm going to tell you right now, Suns are going to finish at number 6 seed in the West, we'd all go, what happened? What went wrong? Yeah.
They're not even going to get 50 wins?
Right. But in the short term, getting a six seed and avoiding the play-in, this is a victory. The Suns went out and earned this on Friday and Sunday. Uh-huh. They went out and took this on the road against teams that were above. Well, the Kings weren't above them. But you know what I'm saying. They handled their business against teams that were vested, that wanted to win, and they did so very impressively, in my opinion. And I can't give Bradley Beal enough credit for sort of bringing this out of this team right at the finish line.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. Oh. The last five games especially. Yeah. And what he did, I mean, if you look at the stat line from Friday night, 20 points, whatever it was, 9 assists, you're like, ah, pretty good game for Bradley Beal.
Mm-hmm.
He was amazing down the stretch in that game. And then yesterday, he dominated. That was a dominant, follow me type of performance.
Two-way. Without a doubt.
Shutting down Anthony Edwards, who was like the darling of the league the last 2 months. And offense.
Well, listen, for getting in Anthony Edwards' head the way he did, to basically go up on him, push him, and say, "You're not me, dude. For all this love you're getting, you ain't me."
Yeah.
And that's powerful.
Yeah.
And you saw what Bill Simmons, how he reacted. He thought Anthony Edwards was going to go nuclear after that confrontation. He didn't.
Did you see Yusuf Nurkic's response to Bill Simmons?
I did.
Now, they did. There was some footage of Beal and Edwards kind of chopping it up on a friendly note.
John, back
after
and
that,
forth.
You know, before the start of the second half.
Right.
So, I think Beal's just one of those guys that's got a good relationship with everybody in the league. But in real time, to see that, going to a timeout, that was impressive.
It was something.
And we talked to you real quick about the Grayson Allen extension. It has been signed, 4 years, $70 million. There's another side to that, as Adrian Wojnarowski's put out. We talked about this before. When this became a possibility, what it would mean in luxury tax payments, it will cost the Suns $79 million in luxury tax and salary for next year alone. Woj puts out there that Matt Ishbia, with another $104 million looming in luxury tax, in addition to expanding the payroll to $206 million, it's the largest tax bill in the league.
Yeah. Bravo.
Care.
Listen, bravo. Yeah. It's fantastic. This is almost, I have to pinch myself coming from where we came from. You know what I mean? Seriously. Yeah,
it's true.
I mean,
any other era, if this news came out, we were like, oh no, they're going to trade Kevin Durant, aren't they? They're going to trade Bradley Beal because they need to get under the... Yeah, but now you're just like, they're doing what they need to do.
There's no tax bill that's too high for this guy. It's unbelievable.
Really?
Unbelievable.
Coming up next, Sarah Cazell will take us through the big stories of this Monday morning in the Rush Hour reboot. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Bickley and Murata Mornings. Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. Arizona built for America's dreams.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Rush Hour Reboot here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Let's get you caught up on everything you need to know in Valley sports and beyond. Let's jump right in. We've got a lot to cover. I'm Sarah Cazell with Dan Bickley.
Hey!
Vince Murata.
Bradley Beal. That's all we got to say.
And Jarrett Carlin.
Pelicans hold on. Driving into Murray. Somebody's throwing something on the floor. 46 seconds to go and a whistle blew. It's a chicken wing. Why would someone throw something that good out on the floor? It's crispy. It's warm.
Yes.
And I almost had to go out and I'm so hungry.
Play a longer soundbite that runs into something I was going to do for Hardware, Jarrett.
It's okay. Different audience at 9:30. Don't worry about it. Kevin Harlan on the call for weird moments is just top-notch every single time. All right, let's get to the Phoenix Suns. They have locked in their spot in the first round of the playoffs. No play-in tournament for Phoenix. They won their two games over the weekend and leapfrogged the Pelicans in playoff positioning thanks to the Pels' blowout loss to the Lakers yesterday. Everybody say thank you, Lakers.
Thank you, Lakers. Vinny won't do it. You're not going to get that out of
him. I knew he wasn't going to bite.
You're not going to get that out of
him. I thought it was worth a try. Bradley Beal, huge for the Suns.
I could say something else, you Lakers.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Also ends in a K.
Yeah. Yeah.
36 points for him, 6 of 6 from deep. He scored or assisted on 20 of the Suns' first 22 points in the fourth quarter, where they really pulled away from the Timberwolves. After the win, he spoke about embracing the excitement of what is now ahead for the Suns.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's kind of hard to put into words. This opportunity we have to team them on, and I just embrace every moment. And I don't take the moment for granted or opportunity for granted. It's a special group, and I want to embrace that, and that's why I'm here. I've come here to play these type of games, and I'm fortunate to have the opportunity.
Embracing the moment, excited for the opportunity. Suns coach Frank Vogel, by the way, thinks that the Suns are hitting their stride.
Yeah, we had a couple stinkers during this. You know, the Clippers game wasn't our best moment, but overall, over this 10-game stretch, we're hitting our stride.
All right. I know we have plenty of time to preview this Suns-T-Wolves matchup, which begins Saturday in Minnesota. But as far as playoff matchups go, do you believe that this is the most favorable outcome?
Oh, I've been saying it for weeks. This is the team that you can draw and you can go, oh yeah, the punch our ticket to the next round. Vinny's got a stat that's going to blow your mind.
Queued up.
Somebody pointed this out to us on... I can't find it. On X, Bradley Beal apparently is like kryptonite to Anthony Edwards. Somebody pointed out on, maybe it was Reddit, I don't know. Edwards is 0-7 against Beal when he played on the Wizards, and now 0-3 against the Suns. Ooh. With Bradley Beal. And he's 1-11 lifetime against the Suns when Devin Booker plays. So,
this is fantastic.
To answer your question, right, Sarah, yes, this is what the Suns want.
Yes.
In the current scenario. And if you look past it, if the Suns can beat the Timberwolves in the first round, you get Denver in the second round, but that's been a good matchup for the Suns, too. You could avoid Oklahoma City potentially until the Western Conference Finals. That's been the toughest of the matchups for the Suns.
The Oklahoma City and Clippers are the two teams they've struggled with the most. And yes. You're right, they can avoid them both.
Yes, this is very favorable going in.
Yeah. All right, we will talk much more about that throughout today's show and the week. And we, in case you missed it in the last segment, briefly mentioned that Grayson Allen has been extended by the Suns. He's agreed on a 4-year, $70 million extension with a player option. Projected payroll for 2024-25 to $206 million, with another $104 million looming in luxury tax, according to Woj. To keep the core together, Matt Ishbia will be paying the league's largest tax bill, Woj says. We'll talk more about that throughout the show. Let's get to the Coyotes. We finally heard from team owner Alex Metuelo over the weekend about the future of the team. And finally, some accountability. Oh, never mind. Here's the statement. There's been a lot of discussion in recent days about the future of the Coyotes. He says he understands and empathizes the concerns of everybody involved. I hope to address these issues as soon as I am able to speak on them. We're focused on a myriad of issues that are unresolved. Therefore, we can't make any public comments right now. However, he writes, you have my commitment that I am going to speak on all of these issues and publicly address all of your concerns as promptly as possible. Okay, very cool.
Thanks for the commitment.
Yes, commitment to speak, he says. We also have a report from TSN's Pierre LeBrun this morning. He says the NHL hopes to have this deal to Salt Lake City final by the end of the week, though that is not guaranteed. Now, when the statement came out on Saturday, Vince, I saw a tweet from you. You wrote, this is pretty pathetic. Tell me more about your initial reaction and how Alex Metuelo and crew have handled this whole thing.
I botched it completely. Go back to something that Bick brought up, and we're going to talk about this later on in the show, too. The Tempe proposal. You know, Alex Morello has been talking a big game. It was like, we intend to win that. We have a commitment to win that land auction on June 27th. They said the same thing. We have a commitment to win this election.
And they didn't spend any money, very little money to win that election.
It was resoundingly shot down by Tempe voters. And I would venture a guess that the Tempe voters, if you line them up in or put them in a room right now, the ones that voted no on that and asked them why they did, they would immediately, well, I'm not paying any taxes for this.
Exactly.
The message just got bungled.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And when you come out and make a statement that you can't make a statement, and that's the first we've heard from the owner in all of this, and the fact that these players and this entire organization is left hanging on their future,
That's gross.
And the commitment to winning this land auction, we find out that they just recently corresponded with the Phoenix mayor, Kate Gallego. And it's like, why haven't you checked that box months ago?
I think there's culpability on both sides there.
Okay.
Honestly. But yeah, you can point initially at the Coyotes. But if I'm the mayor of Phoenix and one of my professional sports franchises is trying to contact me to get a meeting in place, I'm probably going to take that meeting.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me.
On the note of blame and where it falls, we have a column from our Dan Bickley on ArizonaSports.com with the headline, Arizona Coyotes Relocation, Not Our Fault, It's on the Owner and Local Politics. So go read that if you haven't already.
Indeed.
And let's quickly shout out Zach Gallen for his performance yesterday. The D-backs beat the Cardinals, the St. Louis Cardinals, 5-0 yesterday. He delivered 6 scoreless innings, Gallen did. He struck out 7, allowed 4 hits and 2 walks. He is now 4 starts into the season. He's got a 1.64 ERA through 22 innings pitched. Let's put on our corporate hats real quick and do a performance review, okay? It's that time of year. Zach Gallen, so far this season, is somewhat meeting expectations. He is meeting expectations, or he is exceeding expectations. For you.
Meeting. I've always had high expectations for Zach Gallen. Even throughout his struggles in the postseason last year, the last offering he put out there kind of set the... Again, reminded people of what he's capable of in big game situations. And this is what an ace of a team should be doing.
Yeah, listen, I that's where I am at as well. He's the opening day starter. He's the designated ace of this team. They do have 2 of them. But I think Zach Gallen, from that last game of the World Series through the start of this year, has kind of put his foot down a little bit. Said, hey, remember me?
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. And he's got 4 nasty pitches, and he is using them perfectly this season so far.
Yep.
That other ace you mentioned, Dan Bickley, Merrill Kelly, is on the mound tonight for Game 1 of 3 against the Cubs. That begins at 6:40 from Chase Field, and you can hear it on 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app.
We're all rebooted. Yes, Thank you, Sarah. Coming up next, we'll talk some hoops. Playoff preview with Frank Isola. It's Bickley and Murata mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Wolf. The regular season is over, and we know the Phoenix Suns' fate. So how do we feel about the Suns' chances for a deep playoff run? We'll tell you at 10 a.m. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports.
Yeah, regular season over. Play-ins tomorrow and Wednesday. The playoffs get started on Saturday. Suns will take on the Minnesota Timberwolves in the first round after they beat the brains in of the Timberwolves yesterday. And here to talk NBA with us, Phoenix Suns and beyond from Sirius XM NBA Radio. Of course, you see him all over ESPN as well. Frank Isola joins us here on the Arizona Sports Line. Good morning, Frank.
Boys, what's up? How you guys doing?
Doing pretty good. It's we've used the word roller coaster ride to describe the Suns a million times during this 82 game season, and here we are at the end of it, and with all the frustration, the Suns have a very, very favorable path. At least it looks like going in. Would you agree?
No, I do, and I think it's weird because it seems like the team, I don't know if you'd be shocked if they got knocked down the first round. I also wouldn't be shocked if they make the conference finals. I mean, you know, you have 3 guys like that, especially Devin Booker is incredible, and Kevin Durant, you know, has been in so many of these playoff series before. Minnesota is a good defensive team. That's the one thing you have to remember about them, and Anthony Edwards is a good player. He's not going to be intimidated by the moment. But they did well, you know, winning the game yesterday in New Orleans, you know, completely fell apart, which was somewhat predictable. If you think about it, right, New Orleans, you kind of feel like they had 2 signature performances this year. One was the in-season tournament against the Lakers. They lost by 44 in the semifinals. and then yesterday they had a chance to be 6, and I think they lost by 16 or 18, whatever it is. So the Pelicans this week, think about this. I know you guys are more focused on the Sun. They lost yesterday. That was for 6th place. They could lose tomorrow, which would be for 7th. And if they lose on Friday, that would be for 8th. So in the span of a week, they will lose 6th, 7th, and 8th place.
Wow.
They better win one of these games.
Yeah, that's very Pelican-like, yeah. As we got down the season, that game against the Clippers falling behind 35-4, and then the following night of getting tested by the Clippers scrubs, it really felt like the Suns were broken internally, that something was really, really off. Did you sense that as well? And how rare is it for this team to kind of, or for a team to find something to rally around?
Yeah, that was shocking what happened in that game, the 35-4 lead that the Clippers had. I had a feeling that the Phoenix Suns would win the next time. I get it. You know, look who wasn't playing for the Clippers. But I think for a lot of these players, I kind of feel like Kevin Durant is in this group, and it doesn't make it right, but you know, they just try to somehow manage to get through the regular season, and they just have a way of elevating their games come playoff time. And, you know, whenever you have, I mean, they have two guys, and I won't include Bradley Beal in this, but you do have two guys that on any given playoff game could score 14 points in a quarter, 16 points. Like, they have the ability to do that, and they can get into this groove where they're unstoppable. And I think, you know, and they're the one team also in the Western Conference which, you know, could beat Denver. You look at the Lakers, I think it's 9 in a row, right, that they've lost to Denver, and the Golden State Warriors can't beat them. Denver's still the team, but I don't know. I think the Phoenix Suns is the one team that I'd be worried about if I were the Denver Nuggets. Now, they still have to get past this round, but I think that's why a lot of teams don't mind playing either Oklahoma City or Minnesota, just because of lack of experience on both of the rosters.
Talking with Frank Isola, SiriusXM NBA radio host, also ESPN. He joins us here on the Arizona Sports Line. There's a lot of talk locally and I think nationally, too, about this late season surge by Bradley Beal as becoming the Suns' best player during this run. In his last five games, Frank, Bradley Beal is averaging almost 27 points per game. He's shooting 73% from three-point range, and he's been easily the most emotional leader the Suns have had in this whole stretch. What do you make of this from Bradley Beal, somebody who's watched his career from from a different viewpoint than us, his days in Washington? He looks like he's ready for this challenge moving forward.
No, I think there's a lot of pressure on him, a lot of pressure on guys like Damian Lillard, you know, guys that got traded, went to better teams, and now it's put up or shut up time come playoff time. And Bradley Beal really hasn't played in a big game since I think it was game 7 when he was with the Wizards against Boston. And that was a game where he and John Wall didn't do anything. So I think there's a lot of pressure on him, but I give him a lot of credit. The way that the year started, and you're hearing all this stuff about the injuries and you're hearing about his back, and you started thinking, man, is this guy ever going to be right? But to his credit, you know, he's come back and he's played well. I think what also helps is that when you're kind of the third, I mean, think about that. Like, Bradley Beal is your third guy. That's pretty good, you know, considering what they have with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. But to get him playing well at this time of the year, you know, Tom Thibodeau said that after the game last night with the New York Knicks. The key is you want to be playing your best basketball toward the end of the year. Now, that might not be the case overall with the Phoenix Suns, but it's certainly the case with Bradley Beal. But again, there's going to be a lot of pressure because they gave up a lot to get him. You know, he manipulated where he wanted to go because he had the no-trade clause. It's just like Lillard. Lillard wanted to be traded, wanted to be out of Portland, and that team stumbled toward the end of the season. In fact, I think they had a losing record in their last, what was it, maybe 35 games.
Yeah.
So I think the two guys are under a lot of pressure. The two guys that were part of a celebrated trades, I should say, last year, both Bradley Beal and Damian Lillard.
I'm curious, because you've got a worldview and a league-wide perspective. Matt Ishbia went and signed Grayson Allen today, and his luxury tax bill is going to be insane. The amount of cash money he's going to end up paying for Grayson Allen with tax liabilities is unbelievable. What does the rest of the league, what did the commissioner think of an owner that spends like that? Do they embrace it? Are they happy because all that penalty money gets filtered back? What do they feel about an owner who does that?
Well, you know, it is their player. And I think, right, it was a trade where they got Grayson Allen. Now, a couple of years ago, he did not play well against the Boston Celtics, but I think he's played really well this year. And it's always funny, whenever Grayson Allen commits a hard foul, everyone in the league comes out and says, you know, he's a dirty player. When Draymond does it, everyone's like, well, I just hope he gets the help that he needs. I hope he gets counseling, and I hope it works. But Grayson Allen has one hard foul. Oh, he's got to go. Out of the
so
league.
True.
He went to Duke. What a bum he is. But I think I would look at it this way, and you guys know this better than I do. You know, when you had the previous owner, when the team was close to being a championship team, that's when they started really counting. You know, they were bean counting, and they could have had Joe Johnson, what was it, for $50 million?
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want to sign him. And then after the season, he ended up signing with Atlanta. And that's when that team was on the verge of winning a championship. So I give Matt Ishbia credit from this standpoint. You know, you bought the team. If you want to win, show it. And I think if I'm a fan of the Phoenix Suns, it doesn't mean you have to agree with every move that they're making. But clearly, they're making moves because they want to win. It's the same thing with Joe Lacob and the Warriors. Think about the money that they're paying. And I like Joe Lacob. You know, he does love to, he conveniently forgets that he's not the guy that drafted Steph Curry when they always say like we're light years ahead of everybody else. Well, actually, the other regime and the other ownership did that. But they're always willing to pay the freight. If you believe you have a championship team, the Boston Celtics are kind of going through that too, because Boston had 64 wins. You know, their payroll's insane. They just signed Drew Holiday. Jaylen Brown makes $300 million. Kristaps Porzingis, his contract's going to come up. So, on the one hand, you're telling the fans, invest in our team, emotionally, but then the owner's not going to invest financially. I think that's the wrong thing. But I don't think the league minds it, just as long as it's kind of your own players, as opposed to doing what LeBron did, where he made sure he went to every team in the league, or the game, the places that he went, he made sure he had a ready-made team to try to win the championship.
Yeah, Frank, you mentioned Boston real quick, and on the subject of pressure, you've talked about individual pressure. How much pressure do you put on the Boston Celtics? They were by far and away the best team in the East. They won by double digits in terms of the standings. They've been close for a few years, and they do have that team that looks like it's ready-made for a championship. How much pressure is on the Celtics to get this done this year?
Well, it's interesting, right? I think, with all their players who are accomplished and make a lot of money, they have an easy out, because the minute they lose in Boston, it's always Joe Mazzulla's fault.
Yeah.
And then Joe Mazzulla is also combative with the media, so that kind of plays into that. I think Joe Mazzulla, he's fighting, who that is, Dan, Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe. Gary will just ask, why'd you guys take so many threes? And Joe Mazzulla is ready to jump over the podium and attack him. So he never comes across well in those losses. Here's the thing about Boston. The only thing, and I do the radio show with Brian Scalabrine, who basically dresses as a leprechaun every day because he does the Celtic games on TV. They're 3-11 in one possession games this year. So the game, there's a couple that stick out. Remember the game they had against Cleveland where they were up 22 in the fourth quarter, somehow blew that lead. And then late in the game on the final possession, Jason Tatum dribbled the ball 19 times before he shot, and he missed a shot. Then they played Atlanta about a month later. This was pretty recently.
Yeah.
They were up 30 in that game. They lost that game on the final possession of the game for the Boston Celtics. Jaylen Brown dribbled the ball 23 times. I never understand why these teams that play a certain way, ball movement, cutting, when it comes to the biggest possession of the game, everyone just does, the James Harden, just dribble the life out, the blood out of the basketball and take like a fadeaway step back three. That never makes any sense. So that's the one concern I think that people would have with the Celtics in terms of losing. But come on, guys. Not enough people take the regular season seriously. They went 64-18. Yeah. That's a pretty good record.
Yeah, really good. Frank, you're the best, man. Thanks so much, buddy, for joining us today. We appreciate it.
All right, boys, enjoy the playoffs.
Thanks, you too. Frank Isola, SiriusXM NBA radio host, ESPN. He joined us on the Arizona Sports Line. Bick's got your first blast of the week coming up next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.